Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see you walking up, always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking up. Walking shoes, hey. I tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said if I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep it walking on. Walking shoes, walking shoes. Step two, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
I was the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes, walking shoes.
Walking towards the promise. Walking towards better land. Said I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up.
Holy One of Israel, our Mighty One, Yah, and your Son, Yahushua. Father, I pray now for your forgiveness, Father, for the sins that I have committed, Father, for the things, Father, that I have done that have offended you, Abba Yah. I ask, Father, for your mercy, for your tender mercies, Father, for your loving kindness, Father, for all that I have done, Father, to offend any one of my brothers, my sisters, even a stranger, Father. I ask that you forgive me, Father, for the things that I have done, Father, that have been an offense to you, that have been a stench to your nostrils, Father. Father, I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. I thank you, Father, for allowing me to have the breath of life this day, Father. And Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Father, all my elders, all the young ones, and all the ones in between, Father. Father, that have been suffering with all forms of ailments, Father, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's other physical ailments, Father. Father, I just ask for their healing, Father. Just ask, Father, for their comfort, Father. Just ask, Father, that you look down upon all of your children with mercy, with kindness, and with favor, Father. And in the areas, Father, that we are struggling, Father, that you uphold us, that you uplift us, Father, and that you give us what we need in that moment, Father, and that we do not take our eyes off of you, Father, that we do not take our focus off of you, Father, that we continue to walk in the path that you have set before us, Father, and that we continue to follow the cloud by day, not calling fire by night, Father. And that we also follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes, Father. That whether he jumps to the left, whether he jumps to the right, Father, whether he takes us on an upward hill climb, Father, through rough valleys, Father, over rocky terrain, Father, that we follow him, Father, that we do not let go, let him out of our sight, that we do not allow ourselves to look to the right or to the left, Father, but only follow in whatever direction your Lamb, your precious Lamb, your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, continues to lead us, Father. Father, again, I pray for all my brothers and sisters, my elders, Father, who may be suffering with any sort of ailment, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whatever it is, Father, that they cry out to you, Father, that they don't hold back, Father, as they reach their hands out to you, Father. We know as a good parent that you are, that you won't let us cry for too long. No parent lets their child cry for too long. But once they hear the cry of their child, they come running and nothing stops them. So, Father, I ask that as brothers and sisters cry out to you, Father, that they lift their arms up to you, Father, that we know, Father, and we hold on to this confidence, and we have faith in this, Father, that you will reach down, Father, and you will lift us up, Father. And as the prophet says, you will bear us upon your shoulders, oh, yeah, and that you will hold us, Father, as a father does his child, Father, and you will take those steps for us, Father, when our legs are too weary to walk, that you will bear us up, Father, at those times, Father, that we don't feel like we could carry on any further, that you, Father, will continue to protect your children, Father, from all things, Father. And if at any point, Father, we step out of your protection, Father, that we know, Father, that whatever comes upon us, it is for our good, Father, for our edification, Father, for our learning, Father, so that we understand, Father, that one day with you is better, Father, than a thousand elsewhere. So, Father, I ask now as we embark upon this journey in your word, Father, that you sit with us, that you sup with us. We invite you in on this Shabbat day, Father, into this lesson. We invite you in, Father, to this day, Father, to hear your words. We invite you in, Father, we ask you, Father, for your continued guidance. And as we begin this journey through your word for these next 6 weeks, Father, that we learn what it is, Father, that you want us to learn, Father, and that we be good children. And as we sit at your feet, Father, that we listen to these lessons intently, Father, and be obedient to your words. In the name of your Son, Yahushua, Rabbi Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Excuse me, fam, you're going to hear a lot of that. And evidently now as I'm starting to use my voice a little bit more, it appears that it's getting a little shaky again. So forgive me, family, if hopefully I'm coming through. And if at times, excuse me, My voice gets a little faint, family. Still recovering from this this scourge, this COVID-19. Yep. I did my best to dip, duck, and dodge this thing for 2 years, and finally, it grabbed my flags. Got me. Now, you know, I can honestly say, this boy no joke. It will definitely lay you down. It has the power to lay you down. But Abiyah also has the power to heal and to lift you back up. So all praise and glory and honor be to Yahweh. I also pray for those who have been the caretakers and the caregivers for those who have been suffering with these ailments, because not only is the person who is sick burdened, but also the person who is healthy is burdened with the task of having to take care of that person, their loved one or their family member who needs that caregiving. So pray for them too, because it ain't easy on them either, family. You know, I had some time on my hands the last couple of days, you know, being laid up at times, having a very difficult time lifting my head up off of the pillow, or even finding the energy to move and feed myself sometimes just to get something to drink. You know, this thing really does a doozy on you. I mean, I can honestly say that. I mean, pain, weakness, chills, sweats, all of that. But again, I'm not, you know, not here to talk about my experience with COVID-19. But hey, it's real, and you know, it happens. But I watched this documentary on the human body, and I have to say, you know, in watching the documentary, how fascinated I was by the one part about the immune system, and how, when I remember a long time ago, Gershom Ben Daniel taught us that Abba made this body to live forever. He didn't create this body with the intent that it would corrupt and die. He created it with the intent that it would live forever. And when I saw the part on the immune system and what the body goes through to fight off significant ailments, but even the minor things that we don't even pay attention to. You know, one of the things that I learned from watching that documentary was that our body is constantly under attack. From the time that we are born, our body is under attack by all these microorganisms, right? But one of the things that Abba has placed within the mechanism of this magnificent thing we have, this human body, that he has created it so that can receive these foreign bodies, these things that are meant to do it harm. And he's created it in a way so that these cells, these T cells within our body, these antigens, right, that are in our body, that once they see the foreign body, they attack it. Like it's this elite force that is in our body that goes and it attacks these foreign objects. And we are always being attacked by foreign things. Now, not all cause us to feel ill, but we are constantly under attack. But how the body gets strong is from being attacked. This is why babies constantly put themselves in harm's way. If you notice what babies do, and many of us have experienced, you know, what babies do, they have those hands as they're walking on the floor, crawling on the floor, right? Now, us as adults, we look at them and they're about to put their hand in their mouth, like, no. But that's that baby's, what Yahweh placed within that baby as a natural, before they even are able to understand what it is that they will eventually understand as an adult. Yahweh places them naturally a way to start, believe it or not, infecting themselves so that their bodies can build an immunity to foreign bodies. And the funny thing about it is, unless, you know, somebody has a particular ailment, some type of autoimmune disease where the body, you know, works against itself, that the germier the environment that you're in, the more, not to say dirtier the environment that you're in, but the more that you're exposed or to these different quote-unquote pathogens that enter the body, that the stronger that your immune system comes. So you have to get infected so that the body will then build its strength against it. And this is all going on within our body without us being conscious of it at all. And isn't that fascinating to know that Abba has created us in a way that we don't even consciously have to defend against it. Now, there are certain pathogens that enter the body that are very strong, certain bacteria, certain viruses. For instance, this COVID-19, you know, or one that may be as catastrophic or devastating to the body as, let's say, like Ebola, that, you know, these viruses attack the body in such a way that it overwhelms the body's natural defenses. But the physicians, which I can't knock the physicians, scriptures have a lot of positive things to say about the physicians, through science, through understanding, through knowledge, through da'at, that they have learned that there are ways to help the body at the time that it may be struggling. So wherever a particular germ or virus, bacteria may be attacking the body and the body may be struggling, they have discovered ways, Yahweh has led them to discover ways that you can counteract it. Whether it's through herbs, vitamins, minerals, sometimes pharmaceutical drugs, which come from herbs and the vegetation that Abba has placed in the earth to help strengthen the body in ways where it may need strengthening. But the body normally, unless it has some type of other ailment, has the ability to fend and fight off these things. And one of the other things that I find very interesting about, especially now being sick, you know, that it goes in a certain number of days, right? The first is a 7-day cycle, right? The body goes through the first 7-day cycle of getting that little army together within it to help fight these things off. First 7 days that the body gets to fighting off, then after another 3 days, then the body has amassed enough of the ability to fight or developing the immunity to what is attacking it, that then after 10 days, the body starts to recover. Then normally by the 14th day, unless now this is something that is an ongoing illness, the body has fully recovered to the point where it is back to normal, but stronger against what it has been fighting. A whole, when you look at it, not that it's actually is going to fall exactly on like the first of the month, but a whole half of moon cycle. And I found that to be very interesting, that it takes at least 7 days for the body to get to the point where it has enough of the T cells or the antigens to start fighting it. And then in 10 days, the body has amassed so much of it now that it starts to recover them. Usually by the 14th day, the body is not just healed, but in a stronger state than it was before. Found that to be very fascinating, especially, like I said, I had time to lay down and really watch as the comedian put it, you know, my body fighting against, you know, this foreign entity. But even in all of that, family, this shell that we have, this magnificent thing that we have, is only temporary. very temporary. When we think about the human lifespan, let's say somebody lives to be, I think their record was 100 and blah, blah, blah. Say 110 years old, I believe, maybe the oldest version, 110, 112 years old, right? Even that, when you think of even a lifespan, turtles live longer than that. A turtle, a little old turtle, can live longer than that. Trees live longer than that. So when we think about our lifespan on this earth, it's for a very short time, like the scriptures say. Life is like a vapor. It's here one moment and gone in a different. No secret. You know, I lost my mom. She spent 83 years on this earth, and Abba took her. And she is gone. Right? That shell is gone. But what remains has gone back to its creator. So even when we look at this shell, this body, it is only temporary. It is only to be here for a short period of time. But what is most important is what we do not necessarily see, feel, taste, or touch. And that's that soul. Because one of the things that Yahushua said, don't be concerned about him who could destroy the body. Worry about who can destroy the body and the soul. So in saying that, one of the things that he wants us to be most mindful of is that intangible part, that invisible part that we don't see, but yet and still is very much attached and tied to this physical body. So our spirit, our soul must dwell within this mortal shell. It must war with this mortal shell to do what is right within this mortal shell, so that when we give up this mortal shell and it is laid to rest, and that which remains, which is eternal, which belongs to Abba Yah, is eternal. When he calls it back, that part of us, our consciousness, our soul, what state is that in? Because that, and we're going to see by way of the scriptures, because it's so funny, because before I was sick, Abba had me on one train of thought. But for some reason, that thought would not spark. It wouldn't take hold. It wouldn't spark. And even up to this morning, because I got the text from Yaakov, and I had gotten so caught up in what Abba was sharing with me, and very simple message, that I forgot to create the lesson in Blog Talk. And it wasn't until he texted me and was like, "Oh snap! I got to create it," because Abba had brought me to a passage in the scriptures that was like, hey, this is why I sat you down. And a question has been going out for the last 7 weeks, and I want to say for the last 9 to 10 lessons. And a question has been asked of us, and I wonder how many people are paying attention to that question. And the question has been, have you accepted Yahushua as your Savior? Have you accepted Yahushua as your Savior? Can I get a text? One of the brothers just said that I got cut off. Did I get cut off, or is it the individual? Can somebody let me know, please? Yes, no, waiting to hear. I haven't heard from anybody else. Okay, Toda, check your line. Seems like it might be your line. Okay, hallelujah, Toda family. Toda, thank you very much. Forgot where I was at. I forgot where I was at, family, forgive me. Oh, Toda, I tell you, family, who is my mother, my sister or my brother, but those that do the will of my Father. I'm going to tell you something, family. I love y'all. I really do. I love you. I love you. I love each and every one of you. Let me tell you something, family. The blood of Yahushua is stronger of the bond that you have in your life. You hear what I'm saying, family? The blood of Yahushua is stronger than any bond that you have in your life. First, one of the things that I loved about the teachings that we cling. Let me tell you something. Cling first and foremost to your Creator. Cling to your Creator. Hold fast to your Creator. Hold on to your Creator. Your relationship with your Creator is more important than any other relationship that you have in your life. You hear what I'm saying? When Yahushua said this, they said, "What is the greatest commandment of them all?" And he said, "First and foremost, love all your heart with all your soul and with all your might." Because at the end of the day, family, we all have an appointment to make, and we do not know when that appointment will be made. And at that point, when that appointment is made, there's no one that's going to save you. There's no one that is going to rescue you. There is no one that is going to stop you from making that appointment. So your best interest is to ensure that that appointment is secured, that you have a relationship that is so strong with your Heavenly Father, with your Creator, the one who holds the breath of your life, the one who holds your soul in the balance, that you will never be separated from Him at the time which you can be separated from Him. And that is at the time that you let this mortal shell go. So understand this. Those are the words of Yahushua HaMoshiach, that you love that person, that entity, that your Creator is held in such high regard. I hope folks have been listening to the lessons. Advanced training. It's time to get out of the basics of boot camp. Time to move on to a stronger and better relationship. See, when he says that he is jealous, understand this. Think about any moment in which you have been jealous and why you have been jealous. Because jealousy is an emotion of the heart. Jealousy is an emotion of possession. You don't get jealous over something that you don't feel you have that you don't feel like you possess. Otherwise, you wouldn't be jealous. When you get jealous over something, it's because you feel ownership over that thing, whether it's a person or a thing. So forgive me. I don't mean to refer to us as things, because we are human beings. We are people. So whether it's jealousy over a loved one, jealousy over a family member, you feel a sense of entitlement to your relationship with that person. And you get jealous because you feel like something now has come in between you and that person. And think of how he introduces himself to us. I am jealous. And sometimes it seems like, you know, because as human beings, jealousy seems like such a petty emotion. Jealous? What am I getting jealous for? I ain't gonna sweat nobody. I ain't getting jealous over nobody. I ain't that concerned about nobody. But you know what? Abba Yah is so humble to say, you know what? I'm jealous. Yeah, I'm petty like that. I feel that much about you that I will let my emotions get me to a point where if you hurt the relationship that you and I have with one another, Yisrael, that I may have to remove certain things from your life. I may have to even remove certain individuals from your life. if I feel like that individual or that thing is getting in between you and I, because I love you that much. I sweat you. Yes, you ain't got to sweat me, but I sweat you. We know we grew up in the 80s era with sweating somebody. I ain't sweating that person. Please. Oh, no, heck no. But the whole time, tore up on the inside. Yo, I can't believe Shorty just left me like that. Hey, I can't believe. Oh, wow. Yo, Shorty just rolled out on me like that. I'm going to go hang out with so-and-so. I can't believe my homeboy just left and went with homeboy. Hey. But nah, you know, we got to be proud. We got to show our pride and just walk away like, I ain't worried about that. Feeling lonely. Feeling rejected. Feeling less than. But pride says walk away with your head up. Pride says act like you don't care. Pride says go ahead and make that mistake. Even though you regret it later. Even though it goes against the very nature of the Creator that we have this relationship with. But he says himself, I am jealous. And not just once, he said it several times. He's even sent prophets to live a life to show what it is he is experiencing with Yisrael. Ask Hoshea, the prophet, and the pain that he had to go through. Watching his woman, his wife, with another man, while at the same time, he's taking care of them and the kids. So again, I'm told our Akoti, have you accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as your personal savior? Is he yours? He said, yea, I stand at the door. Knock, 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 knock. He said, once you open up and you say, come on in. He said, I'm going to chill out with you. I'm going to hang with you. And it ain't got to be a whole rack of lamb sitting there. You could have an orange and a banana and a glass of water, and I'm happy with that. You ain't got that? It's okay. I'll bring some food. I'll bring the bread of life. And we'll sit and we'll dine on that together. We'll eat fruit from the tree of life. We're going to talk about that Torah. Isn't that what the scriptures say about the Torah? It is a tree of life for them who hold fast to it and all of its supporters, all who aman, emuna it, are happy. That should be more valuable than anything else in this world. That the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the Torah, the creator whose spirit led the prophets, the creator who sent his only begotten son down here to this world for you, for me, for all of humanity, has called us into a personal one-to-one relationship as well as a collective relationship. And again, have you accepted them? And the turkey bag off of my rabbi. Ooh, excuse me. Sorry, I thought I got all of that out. Excuse me, fam. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I thought I got all that out. Do you believe, turkey back off of my rabbi, do you believe in the promise that he set forth for you? Do you believe in the resurrection? Because that is the promise that he has set forth for all of us that believe in him. Do we believe in the promise that he sent his son to die for us, and that if we believe in him, that we would not perish but have everlasting life? Do you believe in the resurrection? And that's a sincere question to everyone. Or is it make-believe? Is it a fantasy? Because believe it or not, there are and have been believers who do not believe in the resurrection, that do not believe that once we pass on, that we will rise again. Do you believe in that? Because it's very important, because that belief, one, that acceptance of Yahushua HaMashiach as your personal Savior, and then that promise will dictate your life. It will be that mark that you strive towards. Because if you so desire and covet eternal life, everything that you do within your lifespan, as we were once told by a wise man, that dash, will dictate your actions. Because if that is your goal at the end of the day, or rather at the end of your day, you will do everything within your power to secure it. Because remember now, that's just the beginning. Acceptance of Yahushua. Because remember, his word says the race is not for the swift. It ain't about how fast you break out the gate. Because this ain't a sprint. Sprinting's for suckers. Sure, it gets all the glory. But if you really, really want to test your endurance, you really want to test your mental fortitude, and that was one of the things I watched in that documentary, these people that run these mega marathons, where not only does your body say quit, and they show pictures of people who couldn't make it to the end of the marathon, and they had to have people carry them over to that finish line, people who have gotten right there to the very end, and their body said quit, but their mind, their spirit said crawl across that finish line. Even though my body has said, nah, I can't do it. I can't go any further. They'll let you know a marathon is not just physical. Sure, it is physical. But they say as a marathon runner, you hit several walls. And that wall is your body has said, I'm done. Stop. What are you moving for? But you have to have the will of mind, the will of spirit to say, you know what? Keep it moving. One foot in front of the other. Another foot, another foot, another foot, another foot, another step, another step, another step, another step. From the last person to cross through that marathon, I've got to finish the goal. I've got to tell, oh, I got to make that mark. Do you have it in you? Because again, that acceptance is the first part. But now you got to work towards that resurrection. So family, I'm going to be reading today 1 Corinthians. And it's so funny because initially Abba had prepared a lesson out of Corinthians, but he said, no, I'm going to give you another lesson that I want you to talk about out of Corinthians. Excuse me. And we're going to be reading 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter together, family. I'm going to be reading from the WEB. Sometimes I may switch between other versions, but I'm going to read primarily out of the WEB. And I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians 15. Because again, if our hope is not in another day, then what are we living for? What is it all for? The resurrection has to be your why. Because that's our promise. Eternal life. Out of all the things that we can achieve in this world, achieve in this life, if we don't have eternal life, y'all ain't gonna, when we close our eyes, he ain't gonna say, well, that certificate you got, let me take a look at it. Were you a good parent? Were you a good child? Were you a good student? Were you a good mechanic? Were you a good transporter? Were you a good porter? No. He ain't looking at all of that. He's simply going to look at whether or not you are a good and obedient child to him. And whether or not you clung to him, you held fast to him, when you had all these heathens in your life, all these non-believers in your life trying to tell you you wrong, trying to tell you you in error, wishing you all the pleasantries of the season, wondering why you don't do it. What about the kids? You mean your kids? You don't do it for the kids? No. Because truth and obedience to my Father is more important to me than my kids' feelings, whether or not they hurt over the fact that somebody got an Xbox underneath that pagan symbol of the season. Sorry, I know it hurts. But one thing you cannot say is that your Abba lied to you and gave you a whole bunch of niceties and pleasantries underneath trees to make you feel validated to fit in. Sorry. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to go against the grain. We are called, if we stand with him, not to bring peace. Sorry. We are alone in this world, family. Now, some of us may think that that's extreme thinking. Okay. Time will tell. Because as you can see, the world is changing very quickly around us. And if they can turn against their own when they're ready, they will definitely turn against those who don't fit in at all and ain't even trying to fit in. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now I declare to you, brothers, the good news which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold firmly the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And what is that word? 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Moshiach died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Kepha, then to the 12. Okay? So he didn't just resurrect. He made sure, it was read last night, in the account in Luke, he hung out for a while. He didn't just resurrect and say, you know what? Bing! I did it. I'm out. He said, no. We know what happened. First, when he resurrected, he hung out and stood next to Mary. And when she finally recognized him, she wanted to hug him. She wanted to cling to him. He said, no. So I got to make a trip outside of this world real quick. And once I'm gone and I come back, trust and believe, I'm going to hang out with y'all for a while. Isn't that what we saw? And I do say saw because one of the things I learned from old Gershom Ben Daniel is with our mind, we have to see this in our mind. We have to live these things in our mind. They can't just be empty words on a paper or empty words coming through blog talk or empty words coming through the prayer line. It has to be things that we see, that we envision. Place ourselves within those scenarios and see them, live them, feel the air, feel the dirt, feel it. And see Yahushua as he's walking amongst some of his disciples. He's like, hold up. Y'all don't believe? All what I told you, even now seeing this, you still don't believe? You still don't understand? Oh, y'all so foolish, foolish men. Here, let me make this easy for you. Let's go crack open a couple of Torah scrolls. Let's go crack open a couple of these scrolls for them prophets. Let's crack a couple of these open. I mean, everyone. We're going to go to Bereshit. We're going to go to Shemot. We're going to go to Devarim. We're going to go to Bamidbar. And Vayikra, then we're going to go through Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Song of Solomon, Malachi, Ezra's 1, 2, 3, 4, Maccabees. We're going to go through all these writings. I'm going to show you in every one of these writings, bing, that's me. Bing, you wonder why the prophet said that in Psalms? They pierced my hands and my feet. David ain't never get cut from the time he stepped on the battlefield against Goliath until his last footing on that battlefield. He ain't never get injured unless Yahweh sat him down. So how could he be talking about himself when he says, they pierced my hands and my feet? He didn't even get a nick on the battlefield. When Shaul sought his life, Shaul couldn't catch up with him. Why? Because he was Yahweh's anointed. He was Yahweh's protected. Wasn't nothing going to harm David. Same thing with the Maccabees. So when he said that in the word, wasn't talking about him. Hey, y'all, guess who he was talking about? Look here. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side. Look at the scars on my skull cap from when they put the thorns on my head. He was talking about me. I was speaking through him. So that hopefully one day when this was all fulfilled, y'all would believe it. Moshe said to y'all, he was going to raise up a prophet like unto me, unto himself. He said, listen to him. But y'all thought he was talking about Yahushua ben Nun. Here it is. I came with the same doggone name. And all y'all who claim, I believe in Moshe. I believe in Moshe. I'm seed of Abraham. I believe in Moshe. Oh, yeah, I believe in the Torah. We go through the Torah every year. We go through the whole Torah. Go through the whole Torah, Torah, half Torah, 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 Torah. We go through the whole Torah. As a matter of fact, I've been blessed with such divine acumen, I can quote the Torah from Bereshit all the way down. And the sayings of the sages. I know them all. But yet and still, when Yahushua HaMashiach came on the scene, and he said, this day, this scripture in Yeshayahu has been fulfilled in your ears. Y'all all sat there dumbfounded. Hummina, 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 abdi, abdi, abdi. Back to 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Yahushua, Mashiach, died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Kepha, then to the 12. He came back to hang out with his homeboys. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers at once, of whom remain until now. He's talking about in his day, there were still many of them who you could go to and say, and this is exactly why Brother Lucas wrote not just his book with his name on it, but also the Acts. He went and interviewed many of these 500 brothers and sisters that when Paul was writing to the people at Corinth, as it says in 15:6, then he appeared to over 500 brothers at once, most of whom remain until now, but some have also fallen asleep. He didn't say died. He said they fell asleep, because that's what death is. We simply get some rest. And my mama needed rest. Abba heard that and he took her. Hallelujah. 15:17. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, 15:8. And last of all, as to the children born at the wrong time, he appeared to me also. This is Paul talking, saying, and last of all, as to the children born at the wrong time, meaning he was born at a time different from them, he appeared to me also. Anybody who wasn't around that time to be a personal witness to Yahushua, he appeared to Paul also in the spirit. We know the story. So that people who may not have been around at the time, Paul can say, look, I met him. He introduced himself to me. I know he lives. 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles, who is not worthy to be called an apostle. But he's still an apostle. Why? Because Yahushua himself sent him out. Because I persecuted the assembly of Yah. What sin could you commit that could be more treacherous in the eyes of Yah than to be the one to kill those who believed in his son? That was Shaul. We know the story. He was an assassin. He was an assembly breaker. If he heard that there was assembly believing in this new way, this sect, he was on it. To do what he thought was the good service. He thought he was doing Yah's service. He was an assembly breaker. I hear they're teaching in Yahushua over there in Damascus. All right, I'm on it. Gamaliel, what shall I do? Kill them. Kill them all. Told you, I don't want anybody talking in the name of Yahushua. Not that Yahushua. They could talk about Yahushua Ben Nun all day long, but this one that they're calling Mashiach, shut their mouth. Cut their tongues out their throat. Oh, trust me, they did brutal things to them. That was probably the mildest of them all. 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles, who is not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the assembly of Yah. 15:10. But by the grace of Yah, I am what I am. His grace, which was given to me, was not futile, but I worked more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of Yah, which was with me. So he said that once, and we know, okay, look, we done read through Acts. We done see what Paul did to turn his life around in service to Yahushua afterwards. He did truly what the scriptures call Teshuba. 180, he went in a complete opposite direction of where he was going. Repentance is what we call it. 15:11. Whether then it is I or they, so we preach and so you believed. So he's been on this mission ever since. The promise that has come to Israel has now come to the Gentiles. Salvation, resurrection, admittance into the family of the one and only God. It's open to everyone now. All you have to do is say, I believe in Yahushua HaMashiach, the Son of the living God, who came, suffered as an innocent man, and was put to death for my wrongdoings. It's all we have to do. It's a free gift. 15:12. Now, if Mashiach is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Not amongst Beth Yahweh. I sincerely doubt that. I pray not. 15:13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has Mashiach been raised. So he's saying, look, there's no way you can believe in Yahushua HaMashiach being the Son of the living God and not believe in the resurrection, because that was his purpose for coming here, dying for our sins, being that sacrificial lamb, and raising, laying down his life and being the first to pick up his life. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has Moshiach been raised. So you can't believe in one without the other is what he's saying. 15:14. If Moshiach has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith also is in vain. 15:15. Yes, we are also found false witnesses of Yah, because we testified about Yah that he raised up Moshiach, whom he didn't raise up, if it is so that the dead are not raised. For if the dead aren't raised, neither has Moshiach been raised. So we aren't out here lying. We done told you, people seen them. I've seen them. The apostles are still around. They've seen them. Disciples are still around that have seen them. 15:17. If Moshiach has not been raised, your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins. 15:18. Then they also who have fallen asleep in Moshiach have perished. That means they believed for nothing. God forbid. 15:19. If we have only hope in Moshiach in this life, we are all of men most pitiful. Pitiable. Forgive me. If we have only hope in Moshiach in this life, we are all of men most pitiful. So that means Moshiach isn't about just hope in this life. It's about hope in the life to come, in the world to come. But now Mashiach has been raised from the dead. He became the first fruits of those who are asleep. See how important that feast is? Yom HaBikurim. Because it points to something very important, which is why we painstakingly make sure that we keep it every year. Is it a Shabbat day? No. Is it important? Absolutely. Because otherwise, why put it in there? And it ain't just about getting together and eating a whole bunch of nice old juicy fruits. It's about understanding this. 15:20. But now Moshiach has been raised from the dead. He became the first fruits, HaBikurim, of those who are asleep. 15:21. For since death came by man, the resurrection of the dead also came by man. You mean, Abba, you want me to go down into the birth canal and be birthed out of the life of a woman? That's what you want me to do? You mean other than coming in the form of a full-grown man to go visit Abraham? You mean you actually want me to come down and become a baby, like a baby, and get circumcised on the eighth day? Be born in a manger? That's what you want? That's exactly what I want. Because I got to reverse this work that had been corrupted. This thing got to be fixed. And it's the only way that it can be fixed. If it came through flesh, it has to be fixed through flesh, measure for measure. For since death came by man, the resurrection of the dead also came by man. For as in Adam all die, so also in Mashiach all will be made alive. So death is not the end. This physical death is not the end. So no, I'm not all sad and beat up and heartbroken. I'm hopeful for the promise that my Heavenly Father made to me, that if I believe in Him, if I accept His Son, if I am obedient, and even if I fall, that this physical death is not the end, beginning of something beautiful and something worth living and dying for. For as in Adam all die, so also in Mashiach all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Mashiach, the first fruits, Yom HaBikurim, the one that we present on that day. You know that day. The morrow after Shabbat. Each in his own order. Mashiach, the first fruits, then those who are Mashiach's at his coming. And no, we're not talking about some rapture. No secret stealing away. When he comes back, we're going to resurrect with him. 1923, his own order, Mashiach, the first fruits, then those who are Mashiach's at his coming. Then the end comes, when he will deliver up the kingdom to Yah, even the Father, when he will have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Till I make your enemies your footstool, your footstool. 1526, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. Do we believe that there will be a point in the existence that no such thing as death ever be a part of our life again? Because death right now is very much a part of our life. Surely as we are born, surely we are going to die. But if we die with belief in Rebbe Melech Adon Yahushua HaMashiach, then guess what? It ain't really dying. It's just falling asleep. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. 1527. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who subjected all things to him. 1528, when all things have been subjected to him, then the Son will also himself be subjected to him. Who is he talking about? Talking about the Heavenly Father. So he's coming to subdue all things. It's Yahushua HaMashiach. Once he has officially subdued everything, conquered everything and death, at that point he's going to say, Abba, I'm turning it all back over to you. I done cleaned it all up. It's good to go. I got all the people in existence that are sold out and want to believe in you and you only, and there's no shadow of doubt in their being, he's going to present it all back up to Yah. When all things have been subjected to him, then the Son will also himself be subjected to him who subjected all things to him, that Yah may be all and in all. Sounds like a little riddle, but it's real simple. He's in charge for now. Once he's done what he's supposed to do, once he is in charge with the kingdom, and everything is in perfect order, the way it was supposed to be from the very beginning, before corruption came in, He's going to put it back under the authority that it should have been under from the very beginning. Well, I has been under from the very beginning, but it cannot exist with any shape, manner of corruption in it. Not one ounce of corruption can be in it. Not even an inkling of doubt. Because to doubt is sin. There can be no sin all in it. When all things have been subjected to him, then the Son will also himself be subjected to him, Yah, who subjected all things to him, that Yah may be all and in all. Or else, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead aren't raised at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? Why do we also stand in jeopardy every hour? 15:31. I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Moshiach, Yahushua, our Adon, I die daily. I subdue the will of the flesh daily. I submit myself to his Torah daily. If I fought with animals at Ephesus for human purposes, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, then let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What's the purpose in living if we ain't living for the resurrection? If we living to die without hope, well then you know what? Just party hardy. Drink some Bacardi. And then pass on with no hope. Like the rest of the people. 15:33. Don't be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful who you keep company with. And in particular, those who you have a connection to that are outside of the family of Yah. 15:34, wake up righteously and don't sin, for some have no knowledge of Yah. I say this to your shame. But someone, 15:35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? How are the dead going to be raised? Because this is a question, this is a sincere question that people are going to ask. Well, when people resurrect, how are they going to resurrect? What kind of body are they going to have when they resurrect? What's going to be answered? And with what kind of body do they come? 15:36. You foolish one, that which you yourself sow is not made alive unless it dies. So now understand, he's talking about seed, right? Now, when you think about the seed, you know, like so many of us, we want to eat the seeded fruit, but then we just spit the seed out. The whole purpose of eating seeded fruit is so that you could save the seed and cultivate the seed. Not just so you could patooey spit it out. That's the whole purpose of it. To retain the seed. But now when we look at the original state, we eat the fruit. The seed is contained within the fruit or vegetable, right? And we take that seed out. That seed, which contains the fruit or the vegetable that we just ate, is in a very different state than that which we ate it, right? But yet the seed, which is the fruit, which is contained within the fruit, is what perpetuates and brings about more of that fruit that we eat that has the seed in it. So he says, you foolish one, which you yourself sow is made alive unless it dies. That which you sow, you don't sow the body that will be. He's saying, like, when you sow those seeds, you ain't sowing that whole fruit or the form that it's in. You sowing that actual seed. So it's in a different form. That which you sow, you don't sow the body that will be, but a bare grain. He's talking about a little seed that you benefit from once it grows into its form that it eventually becomes. It's not how you put it in the ground. Keep following along. But bear a grain, maybe of wheat or some other kind. But Yah gives it a body even as it pleased him. And to each seed a body of its own. So an apple seed produces and becomes an apple tree that bears apples, an orange seed, an avocado seed, a lemon seed. which looks very different than the actual lemon that the seed is contained in, because Yah created something vastly different to house it in, but it goes into the earth in a very different form. But Yah gives it a body even as it pleased him, and to each seed a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of man, another flesh of animals, another flesh of fish, and another of birds. And you know what I love is that genetics and DNA and all these scientific discoveries have proved that. You can look at the cells of a dog. You can look at the cells of a bird. You can look at the cells of a cat, a bat, fruit. They're all different because Yah designed it so. But guess what else he designed? 1540. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial differs from that of the terrestrial. Terrestrial means earthly. Celestial means heavenly. To further substantiate that point, he says, there's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star is different from another star in glory. And the only way for us to know this, unfortunately, we have this disgusting thing called light pollution because we live so close to a city that has all this false light. We cannot see the full glory of the stars. But if you are ever able to see the full glory of the stars, you will see that there are some stars that are so magnificently bright, and there are some that aren't as magnificently bright. But there are a gazillion of them out there to look at on a dark night. And again, there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the body. The body is sown perishable. What we in right now is going to rot. It is raised imperishable. It is sown, 1543, in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is also a spiritual body. Remember what Yahushua said. Don't be concerned about him who could destroy the body. Worry about him who could destroy the body and the soul. The soul is going to pass over. So also, 1545, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, Rebbe Melech, Adon Yahushua HaMashiach, became a life-giving spirit. So he has given us, he has called us into this relationship with him, family. Do you accept him? Do you accept him? Do you believe in him? Do you accept him? The question is going out. And Yah knows why. Because somebody needs to fall on their knees, fall on their face, and say, I accept you before it's too late. And if it's you, do not take another moment to hesitate. Even if you have already, do it again. Cannot hurt you to reaffirm your commitment, reaffirm your connection, reaffirm your clinginess to him. 1545, so also is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. I came so that you could have life more abundantly, not a whole bunch of crap, but the real abundance of life, eternal life, resurrection. 1546, however, that which is spiritual isn't first, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. So we come here naturally first, then we become a spiritual being. We don't come as a spiritual being, then become a natural being. We don't come in incorruption, then become corruption. We come in corruption so that we can become incorruptible. 1547, the first man is of the earth, made of dust. The second man is of the master from heaven. As is the one made of dust, such are those who are also made of dust. and as the excuse me. Ooh, sorry about that. I know that sound nasty. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have been born of the image of those made of dust, let's also bear the image of the heavenly. So understand now, we cannot help the fact that we are born in this life the way we are. Just the way it is. We can't avoid it. But what we can cling to is the spiritual things. We can eat. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word which proceeded out of the mouth of Elohim. See, this is how we have to make our spirit strong. Feed our spirit. Feed ourselves that word. Eat that Torah. Eat that book. It's sweet to the taste. Yum, yum. But sour to the belly. Ooh, it hurts to live in this life, in this world system that is totally against the Torah. 1550. Now I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood can't inherit Yah's kingdom, neither does the perishable inherit imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So funny how many people want to hold on to this and not understand the true meaning behind what trumpet? What trumpet, all y'all who believe in the rapture, what trumpet? If you search the scriptures, you'll find out what trumpet he's talking about. And the only way you'll be there when that trumpet is sounded is if you're keeping the feast that is commemorative of trumpets. 1552, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must become imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable body will have become imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then what is written will happen. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where's your sting? The grave, it says Hades. That's a pagan deity talking about the grave. The grave, where is your, or in proper in Hebrew, Sheol. Sheol, where is your victory? Death, where's your sting? The grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is in the Torah. Now, understand this. Don't take these words that is translated and say, see, I told you, the law. First of all, what law? Second of all, understand this. How do you know whether or not you've done right or wrong if you have no standard? As was stated last night. How do you know that you went over the speed limit if a law didn't say there is a speed limit that says 35 miles an hour? And if you go at 47, that means you done gone over what they consider the grace of the legal limit, which was 30. They give you a 12 mile per hour over that before they clock you. But there has to be a standard, a measuring stick that says this is right, this is wrong. And who is the one that's in charge of that? But the creator of us all, who gave us a standard in the books of the Torah and in the writings of the prophets. So again, the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the Torah. So the Torah is what is used to get you right. We have all this lawless mindset abounding. Man, I heard about what the DA in New York is proposing to do. Yo, New York is about to get off the hook. If a man can rob another man with a gun, but as long as he doesn't take anything more than $250 in value, he won't be prosecuted for it? Yo, if you got family in New York, tell them get out now. Don't take my word for it. The new DA in New York is about to let it be off the hook. He ain't going to be prosecuting no crimes up there. I just pray that level don't come down here. Because if it do, get ready. Get prayed up. You mean to tell me I could strong arm rob a man in New York, and as long as he doesn't have anything of value of $250, I don't have to worry about going to jail. I ain't got to worry about going to Rikers. Cop can't stop me. Whew. I had a lot of time on my hands. Watched a lot of Fox News. The sting of death is in sin, and the power of sin is in the law. And look at how lawless we're trying to get. We want to abolish the police departments. Philadelphia, I think they said, had 500 murders in 1 year. And between Delaware and Baltimore, they trying to compete? Who pray, family? Pray, pray, pray. Pray without ceasing. Whew. Because if they start to allow that level of lawlessness to creep through American cities, it'd be worse than Tombstone. 1557, but thanks be to Yah who gives us the victory through our master, Yahushua HaMashiach. 1558, and this is the last scripture, last verse. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the master's work, because you know that your labor is not in vain in Yah. Shalom, family. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who was trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise, glory, and honor be to you, Abba Yah, Beshem Yahushua HaMoshiach. We thank you for bringing us into this relationship with your son. We thank you for giving us eternal life. We thank you for finding something redeemable and worthy within us, Father. All that we can offer to you, Father, is throughout our frailties, obedience. Throughout our downfall, obedience. Throughout our struggles, obedience. And faith that your words are true. Faith that you are worthy to be praised. Faith that the word that's spoken through Yahushua, through Moshe, through all the prophets, through the apostles, through all your disciples, even to this very day, the men and women that you have safeguarded with your word, that you have trusted with your word, that are faithful in delivering your word, that all we can do is be obedient to you and have faith that your words will not return unto you void, and that your son has done the marvelous work of saving all of creation by being that lamb of Yah that took away the sins of the world. We ask, Father, that as we depart, that you look upon us with mercy and favor and kindness continually, that you continue to heal us, that you continue to uplift us, that you continue to safeguard us. And we thank you for the healing that you have already given us, Father, through all the afflictions that we are suffering. We thank you for your son, Yahushua. We thank you for your Torah. And we thank you most of all for you, oh Yah, Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Shabbat Shalom, family. Hallelujah.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah.
Desire to give your name the highest praise today. So we say hi, hallelujah. Say hi, hallelujah. Say hi, hallelujah.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Y'all know it by now, come on, sing.
All the glory belongs
to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you,
oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh Lord, we bless your name and we give you glory. We lift your high. All the earth is